It is also narrated that once Hisham ibn Hakam asked about the meaning of infallible from Imam Sa'adik, peace be upon him. He replied, infallible is the one who, by the guidance of Allah, prevents himself from all those things which have been prohibited by Allah. Allah says, and whoever holds fast to Allah, he indeed is guided to the right path. 3:101. According to the hidden meaning, ta'wil, explained by Imam Sa'adik, peace be upon him, the meaning of this verse is, a man who, under Allah's guidance, keeps himself safe from every sin, is doubtlessly guided towards the right path. Karajiki has, in Kenz al-Fawa'id, reports from the Messenger of Allah that he says, Jibrail, peace be upon him, has informed me that the writers, two angels appointed for recording the deeds, of Amirul Mu'mineen say that ever since we are with Hazrat, we had found no occasion to write any sin committed by him. And he has, through the Bakri's and Umari's sources, narrated that Ammar Yasir said, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, those angels who are writing the deeds of Amirul Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, feel proud over all other writers of deeds, because they are in company of the one, none of whose deeds which we took to sky, was ever to the dislike of Allah. It is mentioned in our sources that, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said to Ayyamash that, all the messengers and all the Vasis, legatees, are clean of sins and of all undesirable, lowly, habits. It is also mentioned in our sources that, Imam Riza, peace be upon him, had written to Mamun Rashid that, Allah never makes it obligatory for the creation, to obey a man about whom he knows that he will become disbeliever, apostate, and who will worship him while obeying the devil. It is written in Ilalosh Shari'iyah with reliable chains of narrators through Sulaym ibn Qais Hilali that Amirul Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, said, obedience of only Allah and the Messenger and the Ulul Amr is obligatory, and the obedience of the Ulul Amr is ordered only because, they are pure of sins and clean of evils, that is, only because they are thus infallible and never ordered to disobey Allah. Sheikh Tusi has in Majlis, and Ibn Maghazli Shafi'i has, through Bakari and Umari sources, reported from Ibn Masud that the Holy Prophet said, I am the supplication, dua, of my father Ibrahim, peace be upon him. I asked, O Prophet of Allah, how are you his dua? The Prophet replied, the Lord Almighty revealed to Ibrahim, peace be upon him, I am going to make you the Imam of the people. Ibrahim, peace be upon him, became very pleased to hear this and wishing this rank also to remain in his progeny, he prayed for it. Allah revealed, I will not give you any promise that I may not fulfill. Ibrahim, peace be upon him, asked, O Lord, what is that promise which you do not wish to fulfill? Allah said, I will not give the word that I will make anyone from your progeny who is a tyrant, an imam. Ibrahim, peace be upon him, asked, O Lord, who is that tyrant who will not be an imam? Allah replied, anyone who may have prostrated before an idol. I will never make such a person an imam. Then Ibrahim, peace be upon him, prayed, protect me and my progeny from worshipping idols. O Lord, these idols have misguided many people. 14:35-36. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, thereafter, the prayer of Ibrahim, peace be upon him, extended up to me and my brother Ali, peace be upon him, because neither of us have at any time bowed before an idol. So Allah made me the messenger and Ali my legatee. Ibn Babawayh has quoted Ibn Abbas saying that he said, I have heard the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, saying, I, Ali, Hassan, Hussein and nine sons of Hussein are clean of every defect and are infallible, clean, of sins. Aisha and others have narrated from Safwan Jamal that he said, we were in Mecca when there began a discussion about the meaning of the captioned verses. Imam Sa'adik, peace be upon him, said, Allah has concluded Imamah by Muhammad and Ali and sons of Ali, peace be upon them, saying that, offspring one of the other, and Allah is hearing, knowing. 3:34. And then said, surely I will make you an imam of men. Ibrahim, peace be upon him, said, and of my offspring? My covenant does not include the unjust, said he. 2, 124. Ibrahim, peace be upon him, said, O Lord. Fulfill the promise soon which you have given to me about Muhammad and Ali, peace be upon both, and make haste in aiding and assisting them. This is an indication towards the Lord's words. And who forsakes the religion of Ibrahim, but he who makes himself a fool, and most certainly we chose him in this world, and in the hereafter, he is most surely among the righteous. 2, 130. What it conveys, is that who is there who will go against the religion, Milah, of Ibrahim, peace be upon him, except who makes himself unwise and senseless. Verily we have selected him in this world and, in the hereafter too, he is among the gentlemen. The Hazrat said, here Milah means Imama. When Ibrahim, peace be upon him, made his progeny to live in Mecca he said, O our Lord! Surely I have settled a part of my offspring in a valley unproductive of fruit, near thy sacred house. Our Lord! That they may keep up prayer, therefore make the hearts of some people yearn towards them and provide them with fruits. 14:37. At another place, it is mentioned. And when Ibrahim, peace be upon him, said, My Lord, make it a secure town and provide its people with fruits, such of them as believe in Allah and the Last Day. He said, And whoever disbelieves, I will grant him enjoyment for a short while, then I will drive him to the chastisement of the fire, and it is an evil destination. 2, 126. The apparent translation of the first verse is, O Lord! I have made some of my family members, progeny, to live near your holy house, in such a desert where no vegetation grows. O our Lord! So that they may maintain prayer. So make people's hearts incline towards them and provide fruits to them. The translation of the other verse is, O Lord! Make this city a place of peace and provide fruits to its inhabitants who may believe in Allah and in the Day of Justice. The Hazrat said, When Ibrahim, peace be upon him, reserved this prayer in favor of only believers, fearing that, like the request about Imama, this prayer may also not be answered in favor of all residents of Mecca, as Allah has said, this promise of mine will not include the oppressor. In short, Allah said, I will give little provision only in this worldly life to the one who will become disbeliever, unbelievers, then I will torture him through a painful punishment of hell which is a very bad place of return. 2, 126. When Allah said this, Ibrahim, peace be upon him, asked, Who are those whose return will be to hell? Allah revealed to him that they will be tyrant caliphs and their followers. Kulaini, Sheikh Mufid, and others have narrated from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, that the Lord of the universe has mentioned Ibrahim's servanthood, before his prophethood, and called him a Rasul, before calling him a prophet, and he made him his Rasul, before making him his Khalil, and made him his Khalil, before making him Imam. So, when he gave him these five high ranks then said, I made you Imam of the people. So as in the sight of Ibrahim, peace be upon him, this rank appeared very high, he wished that this grace should not be detached from his progeny. He said, O Lord! Give this grace to people of my progeny also. Allah replied, This promise of mine will not apply to oppressors. Imam, peace be upon him, said, A fool and a senseless man cannot be the leader of people.
It has also been narrated from the infallible Imam Abu Abdullah, peace be upon him, that, there are four ranks of prophets and messengers. First, there is the one who is a prophet only for himself, and who does not preach to others. That is, there were prophets who were given divine news in their souls just for their own selves and for no one else. Second, he sees an angel in the sleep, but not when awake, and hears only the voice of the angel, and he is not appointed over others, and an imam oversees him. For example, Lut, peace be upon him, whose imam was Ibrahim, peace be upon him. In the other words, There were also prophets who were given divine news in their dreams and would hear the voice, but would not see anyone when awake, and they were not sent to other people with such news. They had to follow an imam just as it happened with Lut who followed Abraham. Third, a prophet who sees the angel both in sleep and when awake. He also hears his voice. He is appointed over a group, be it a big group or a small one. Allah Almighty says about Jonas, peace be upon him. And we sent him towards 100,000 or more people. 37:147. And there was an imam over Jonas, peace be upon him. Fourth, the prophet who sees in dream, and hears the voice also of the angel and himself is an imam. In the beginning, Ibrahim, peace be upon him, was a prophet, not an imam until Allah told him, I have made you an imam of the people, and when he made a request regarding his progeny, Allah said, My covenant shall not reach the unjust, meaning a man who will worship any idol or a picture or a figure, cannot be an imam. That is to say, those who saw in their dreams heard the voice, and saw the angel when awake, and were also imams like Olazim ones, such as Ibrahim were, prophets but, not imams until Allah said, I want to appoint you as the imam for people. He said, also please from my descendants. To which he said, My covenant does not go to the unjust ones, those who have worshipped idols or statues will not become imams. Thalabi has narrated from Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace be upon him, that Allah has, by saying rejs, impurity, which is doubt and sin, hinted towards Ahlul Bayt's, peace be upon them, being pure, clean. He has said in the verse of purification, Allah only desires to keep away the uncleanness from you, O people of the house, and to purify you a thorough purifying. 33:33. Muhammad ibn Abbas and Ibn Mahiyar have, in their tafsir, narrated from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, that he said, The Lord of the worlds does not leave us to our own condition. If he leaves us to ourselves, we also may become like others in the matter of sin and error. But Allah has said about us, Call upon me, I will answer you. 40:60. That is, Allah answers whatever supplication we make. It must be understood that our scholars have unanimously agreed about the infallibility of the pure imams from all kinds of sins. But in many prayers, especially in the supplication of Sahifa Kamila, confession of imams about sins has been mentioned, and in some traditions also there is a mention of some matters, similar to sins. This can be explained with some reasons. First, sometimes committing a detestable deed, and giving up of recommended, mustahab, deed, is also called a sin. Rather sometimes doing some admissible deeds, due to the high rank of the doer and the lowliness of that deed, is considered a sin. Hence the author of Kashf al-Ghammah has said that most of their, imams, time is passed in the remembrance of Allah and in Muraqabat-Ilahi, divine watchfulness, and their hearts are attached to the residence of the heavens and so, when they get lowered from this rank and indulge in acts like eating and drinking and copulating and all other admissible things, their deeds are called sins, and so they do istighfar, seek forgiveness. Do you not see that when slaves incline towards such things, before their masters, it results in the condemnation by the latter, and therefore they will beg pardon for it. Second, when they engage themselves in social affairs, and family members' education and other activities, which, of course, is a God-given responsibility, and thereafter they turn towards remembrance of Allah with prayers and supplication, which indeed is a higher thing, they imagine it as a shortcoming and hence they again indulge in seeking forgiveness, and pardon by weeping. Again this state too develops with Allah's permission. This condition is, for example, like that of servant who remains always in the court of the king, who is sent, by the king himself for some work away from him, which naturally results in being distanced from his beloved king. Thereafter, when he returns to the king, he thinks himself guilty of being away from his king. Third, as their knowledge and distinction and infallibility, is entirely due to the grace and blessing of Allah. They duly feel that, had it not been for the kindness of Allah, they too might have slipped into sins and errors. So they say from the depths of their hearts, O Allah! Had it not been for your mercy, we also would have erred. Fourth, since the stages of knowledge, marifat, are countless, and as the prophets, saints, walis and legatees are always progressing constantly towards perfection, whenever they, even for a moment, engage in any other work, they consider it their shortcoming in the matter, in their constant worship and thereafter seek forgiveness. The Holy Prophet's assertion that he seeks forgiveness 70 times a day, hints towards the state of mind and heart. Fifth, since the Imams have a perfect understanding and awareness of Allah, and they, more than all others, find themselves grateful to Allah for His blessings and bounties, they, despite all their continuous worships and prayers, find themselves defective, and below the desired level of obedience, and so they go on seeking pardon from Him, imagining their shortcoming as sin. Ibn Babawayh has in Risalatul Aqaid, said that the prophets, messengers and imams are totally sinless and faultless, and they can never indulge in any big or small sin. They never disobey Allah's command, and do only their duty imposed by Allah. The one who does not accept their infallibility has not recognized them. It is our firm belief that, from the beginning to the end, in their conditions, they are perfect in their knowledge and that, they have no defect like ignorance, shortcomings, and disobedience, etc.